So, an interesting topic here tonight, which is, it's about the medical practices which you find brought down in the Gemara. Okay? And the problem, specifically the medical practices which you find in the Gemara, which sound in a way what you'd call nowadays magical or mystical. Okay? So I don't mean their methods of doing surgery. I mean things which would kind of sound a little bit nowadays like to be, you'd probably label it as mystical, faith healing, that kind of a thing. But now the Gemara brings down various practices, and there's some practices, mystical types of practices, the Torah, the Gemara says, is prohibitive. It's called Darkei Amori, it's a class of activities which is Amori, the Kananim used to do, and it's prohibited under, you know, how to do like the Goyim do, and certain things which, practices which they do, and these are superstitious types of practices which are prohibited. But then, when it comes to medicine, there seems to be an exception. That there's this principle of Kol Shiyesh Bo Mishim Refuah, anything which has in it Refuah, health, healing, Ein Bo Mishim Darkei Amori. That's not Darkei Amori. Okay?
Is that saying that even if the Amori used it in service of a Zara, as long as it's going to heal someone?
Well, no, I don't know. I don't think it means that. I think it means Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah. These are things which are not Avodah Zarah. They're not Avodah Zarah proper. They're not directly related to Avodah Zarah or to the stars or anything like that. But they're just, you'll see. So let me show you some examples. Okay? And basically, we're going to do some examples to get a feel, a little bit of a feel for the parameters of it. And then, the question comes up also, did Chazal believe these things? Did they not believe these things? Are there different opinions about these matters? So we're going to do a Me'iri, who is a very informative, very interesting Me'iri about this topic. Okay? So I'll just read you the Mishnah for starters. It says, it comes up on Shabbos, because there's an issue whether or not you're allowed to carry these things or wear certain items on Shabbos. So if you wear them, if you wear medical things, something like a Band-Aid isn't carrying, it's like protecting you. So medical things which are protecting you is not considered carrying on Shabbos, without Neir, if we're talking. Right? So it brings up certain things. So it says, Yotzim bebeitzes achargal, v'shein shu'al. So it says, you're allowed to go out on Shabbos with a locust egg, or with a fox's tooth, or with a nail from the gallows of one who was hanged, for the purposes of refuah, of healing. So what does that mean? So the Gemara explains. If the achargal, the locust egg, you'd hang it from your ear, because it's used for earaches. Okay, and a fox's tooth is used for sleep disorders. Okay, the tooth of a live fox is used by one who needs to keep awake, because it's a live fox. And the tooth taken from a dead fox for someone who needs to fall asleep, for insomnia. Okay, so you'd carry a fox's tooth. Okay, or you hang it, I think, over their bed. And then there's a nail from the gallows of someone who was hanged. If you take that nail, it uses to heal swelling on a wound. Okay? These are examples. The Gemara says, because these are refuah, these are for healing, and Abaye and Rava say that anything which is done for healing is mutter, is allowed. So you see what I mean? These don't sound like these would stand up to modern medicine. Right? These types of things. But the Gemara is saying that if it's done for medicine, it's okay. It's not. It doesn't count as Darkei Amori.
It doesn't sound magical or mystical either. It just sounds like, based on the the whatever evidence they had at the time.
Okay. Good. Yeah, you're correct. And as it sounds like, it kind of works through some type of force, which nowadays we would say are some sort of mystical, superstitious types of things, like a rabbit's ear, whatever, mm-hmm. but it's tooth of a thing. It sounds like some sort of a funny type of cause, but. Mm-hmm. Right, it's true. It doesn't quite sound like... I don't know. It's hard to argue. I mean, people nowadays would call it probably... If people did it nowadays, you'd say that they're involved in mysticism. Something like that. If people did it then, you could argue like that was their medicine. Right? This is the types of things which they were used. Right?
I mean, it's possible that the cold metal of the nail and the antibodies and the blood on the nail might have actually reduced some swelling at some point, and that's why they thought it had that...
Okay.
That impact mm-hmm. or something
yeah,
like
right.
that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. It's true. It's possible. Okay, so let me show you some other ones. So let me show you some ones which it says things which you're not allowed to do. It says there are these different types of Amori practices. One of them says, may my constellation show me good fortune. and may not be wearied, neither by day nor by night. So that's asar. You're not allowed to say that. Some say it's even a vadazar. Okay?
What's
asar? Like, there's a saying where they said, God gidi, it's a phrase, it's like a thing you say, may my constellation show me good fortune, and may it not be wearied, neither by day nor by night. Okay, it's like a saying which I said. Or there's a different one. It says, there's this practice where a man and a woman, husband and wife, would call each other. He'd call him by her name. They'd swap names for the night. That's Dak Emory. Somehow that was like some sort of good luck charm or whatever it would do. Mm-hmm. Or you say, they had these other things. It says like this. If you say to a raven, croak, or to a female raven, shriek and turn your tail to me for my good fortune, that's prohibited. That's Dak Emory. Okay, this is just trying to give you a feel for something. Where you say, this rooster croaked like a raven, kill it. It must be its bad luck. Or this hen made a noise like a rooster, bad luck, kill it. That's prohibited. Okay? Or it says, a person says, I'm going to break eggshells in front of my chickens, and that will help them, and hang them on the wall, and then that will help them live. Okay, I'm just giving you a bunch of examples. Or if you dance before your chickens, or if you count to 71 in front of the chickens so they don't die, that's all not allowed. Okay, it is different than as you dance before your kutach, some sort of a thing, so this way it will be strong. Or if you whisper in front of your lentils.
Shh.
Your lentils? Yeah, lentils, so they'll cook. So they'll cook thoroughly. Or you yell, shout in front of your pot of beans, so they'll cook thoroughly. That's not allowed. Okay, you get the idea of some of these like funny types of practice. So these are not medicine, these are just these strange, you know, superstitious types of things that the Morim did. And they're not allowed to do. Okay, it's awesome. Okay, it's not avodah zarah proper, but it's like the mindset of not really cause and effect types of things, just these superstitious type of beliefs that these things work to help lead you to success. So that you're not allowed to do. But again, things which are refuah, which are done for refuah, are allowed. So, many of the Rishonim say, what it means is things which are verified. Like the Rambam himself says that you could wear an amulet of an expert on Shabbos, an expert amulet maker. What does it mean, an expert amulet? It's been tested 3 times, and it works. So it's been tested 3 times, and it works. So then apparently it works, right? And I don't know how it works, whatever, but apparently it works, right? So when things work, then you could do them. Arguably, and we'll get to this more, is arguably a lot of these things work by the placebo effect. You know, they may have thought, they didn't know how these things worked, but there is a phenomenon of placebo effect which does work to heal illnesses. And if you can't just do something, there's no indication that it works, then you're just not making up superstitions. But if it's been verified to work, let's say 3 times, then that's permitted. Okay? I mean, medicine, I think, as I said, we don't know a lot. I mean, even nowadays, there's a lot we don't know about medicine. Certainly then, they don't know a lot about medicine. But that's the way medicine works. You try things out. You see if they work. If they work, you may not understand exactly how they work. Medicines today, they don't know exactly how they work, but they do. So when they work, you have a right to do them. Okay. But some of these medicines, though, sound so crazy. Okay? So I'll show you a story, an example in the Gemara. And this is basically one of the things that the Meiri is going to take up. You have a lot of these funny things in the Gemara, and it seems almost like Gemara's endorsed them. And there's a big question. Again, a lot of Rishonim, the Rishonim were split in 2 camps about, in general, whether magic types of things work. Ram says all the magic stuff is fake. Maybe we did this a few months ago, I don't know. He says all the magic, these things are fake. And people were tricked by them. And that's why the Torah prohibits you from doing these things, because they're fake. Right? That's what I'm going to say. If medicine, if it works, it works. But other Rishonim say these stuff actually works, but still, the Torah wants to keep you away from them, because it takes you away from God, it leads you towards some other types of worship. Something like that. Okay, so let me read you some of these medicine. And there's a few stories here, where the Gemara talks about Abaye. And Abaye had this like nursemaid who brought him up. I think he was an orphan. And it talks about his nursemaid would tell him these different stories about these incantations, for example. So it says, He says, my mother told me, but it's not his mother, it's really his nursemaid. Because he was, what do they say here? It says, that's not magical or anything. Okay. So, fine. So you have basically, so he says, his mother told him that all incantations that are that should be recited with the name of the sufferer's mother. Okay, if you can say an incantation, you have to quote someone's name, you should say the name of their mother. Okay, quote them by their mother's name. And then he says, in all knots that you tie that are helping like solve medical problems, you should always tie with your, on the left arm. Not on your right arm, but on the left arm. Okay? Fine. Then he says another one. He says, my mother told me any incantations whose number of repetitions are stated in their formula, you repeat as many as it says. So if the incantation is you're supposed to repeat it 23 times, then you say it 23 times. And those whose number of repetitions is not stated should be repeated 41 times. 41 is the right number. If it doesn't say a number, then that's how many times you should do. Okay? 41 times. Okay? It's a little strange, right? That's what Abai is saying, his mother told him, or his nursemaid told him. Okay. Now let me read you one more, and then we'll go to the mirror. He says, his mother told him, again, I'm reading these in English, because the words are like Aramaic words, they're hard to follow what they mean, so I'm just using the article, I'm just reading English. I'm going, but he goes according to Rashi's translation, generally. So it says like this, for a fever that strikes daily, one should take a white zuz, okay, it's like a newly minted silver coin, whatever, and he should go with it to a salt evaporator, okay, and weigh against its weight in salt. Okay, so you get like salt that weighs equal to this thing, and then tie the salt by the neck opening of his shirt with a strand of hair. Okay, so basically you get the salt, a coin's worth of salt, and you hang it by your hair from your shirt or something, and then it will heal you. Okay, and if these items are not available, if you can't get these stuff, sometimes it's hard to get the salt and the salt evaporator and the coin and all that, then here's what you do. You sit at a crossroad, and when you see a large ant carrying something, okay, you take the ant and place it into a copper tube. Okay, then you close the tube with lead and seal it with 60 different types of seals. 60. This is if you can't find yourself a little salt or whatever.
Okay. There are 60 different types of seals.
Okay, one with lots of wax, and then with pitch, and then with clay. Okay, it means they say Rashi doesn't mean that many, but it means a lot. Okay, you do a lot of seals. You seal it very well. Okay? 60 is sometimes used as like an exaggeration number. Okay? So that's what you do. Okay. Then what do? And then you shake the tube. And you carry it. And you say to the ant the following. Your burden upon me, and my burden upon you. And I'll get rid of it.
The fever?
Yeah. Well, like you're like kind of swapping. You're giving the ant the fever, and I guess you're getting, I don't know. I guess, I don't know, you're getting stuck in a tube with 60 things on it, right? So it says, so then, but, right. So this is what it says. It says, one second, but maybe you're getting the illness. Maybe this ant previously got an illness from some other guy who did this, and now you're going to get his illness. So this doesn't sound like a very good method, right? You're going to swap it off? Somewhere it says no. So this is what you say to the ant. My burden and your burden should be upon you. Because you don't want the ant's burden. You're just saying it's my burden and your burden should be on you. So by doing this, you somehow, you know, push it to the ant. And it says, and if you can't find these, then you should take a small new earthenware vessel and go to the river and say, river, river, lend me a vessel full of water to heal the routine that has come upon me. Circle those 7 times around his head, and then toss the water beyond him into the river, and say to the river, 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 take back the water that you gave me, for the routine has come upon me, and it came upon me in this day, it has now left me in its day. And that gets rid of it. Okay? Strange, huh?
Sounds like a lot of work for somebody who has a fever.
Yeah.
They're dangerous then, you know. Yeah.
Well, it's a daily fever also. It sounds like maybe it's like a migraine or something like that. So, this is strange, right? This is what Abaye's nursemaid told him. That's the way he's bringing it down. His nursemaid told him, okay? And you'll see, they'll become relevant in the Meiri. This is what his nursemaid told him. Okay, so it sounds by reading a lot of these Gemaras that they believed in these things. right? It's really sounds that way, and I guess arguably some people held that that's the case, right? But they just sound so crazy, some of these things, right?
Could you say it's like people say if you have chickens, people will get rid of your cold, like that kind of thing, or?
Yeah, you could say that, but you know, somehow it's like easier to believe that chicken soup is going to do that, and this like just sounds like some of them might sound not so bad, you know. I don't know which one exactly, but maybe the nail or whatever. I don't know, but they just sounds so crazy. But you could say, look, it's very easy for us. Here's one point: it's very easy for us to look. Take our modern science and look and say, oh, that's crazy. Yeah, because we're b'chacham, but we're just living in an age which knows that this isn't the way things work. But if you're in an age, this is the way science worked, and alchemy and, you know, demonology and all these things were part of standard medical practice, and this is things that people believed in. So you could say that they believed this stuff worked because that was the science of their times, and that's what you're going to do. And the science wasn't given down, and medicine wasn't given at Sinai. The Torah gave us Torah, gave us a way of life, gave us ethics. It didn't give us science and medicine. So the scientists, the doctors, or the rabbanim, oftentimes went by the medicine of their time. What else are you supposed to do? We didn't have a Masorah about how to do science. So you say, look, they went by their times.
And okay. Even with that being said, you don't talk to water like you were going to.
No, but like, for example, you might say if you have, let's say a person has some sort of paralysis. So there are people nowadays who would say you go to a therapist or a magic man if you want, and he'll hypnotize you somehow, and he'll talk to you, and it'll be something called the talking cure, and you just talk the paralysis out, and things like that actually work. Let's say psychologists, psychotherapists, whatever. There are things like this. I mean, these are documented things that actually do work nowadays. Like, there's an idea of a talking cure. How many people are cured for different things? And sometimes they can be serious types of medical, you know. So it's true we don't talk to water, but you might think, how's talking to somebody going to do anything for them? But it does. So I'm not saying it's the same exact thing, but it's true we don't do that, but it's not clear that if you lived 1,000 years ago and this is what that you and the science of your time said this is the way things work, I don't know that we would be so smart to say, well, you don't do that, you know? Because we do talk to people, and somehow you can cure paralysis or, you know, different types of remedies, you know, through ailments, through talking, through helping a person work through issues, through hypnosis, through things like that, right? So, yes, the water is a little strange. But, so again, you could say, that's what everyone asked, there's two ways to go. You could say, look, this was the medicine of their time, and that's it. But still, I do hear it sounds crazy. But it's hard to know. That might just be from our modern ear, it sounds crazy. So now I want to look at the Meiri. So the Meiri deals with a lot of these things, okay? And he presents an explanation. And the problem with the explanation is that it's apparently, he has two facets to his explanation, both of which are very interesting, but the only problem is they're contradictory, okay? Which is a problem. But if you take either one of them on their own, they're interesting and very modern thinking, if you will, okay? And the challenge is going to be, I guess, first of all, to try to understand each one on its own, but then to see how could you simultaneously say both of them, because they're apparently totally opposite. Okay? Okay. So he says like this. Let me just find that. The Meiri is... and there are certain Rishonim who were very much saw through a lot of these things, and other ones who didn't necessarily. So the Meiri is one who did. The Rambam is another one who did. So... Meiri says, and this, by the way, this Gemara I was reading you are like around some of Zion, some of Av, and Shabbos. Okay, so this Meiri is on those Gemaras, and he says like this. So he says here, Kol minei halashim hashpos, all these different lachashim hashpos, all these different incantations and swearing, certain things, I mean, it's whatever. Achar shein v'shem avod zaro kochav. Since they're not using the name of an idol, an avodah zarah, nor a star, einan minei avodah zarah. They're not technically, none of this is avodah zarah proper. That's what you're asking. If it involves avodah zarah, stars, worship, and items which are worshipped, then it's definitely asar. Okay? That's totally awful. These are like weird sounding, and superstitious sounding, and whatever, but none of them involve it. If it involves avodah zarah, stars, items which are worshipped, then forget it. Okay? Okay? Mikol Makim Yesh Bemishim Darkei Amori. Still, a lot of things are Darkei Amori. These are the superstitious practices. Achar Sheim Bahem Tzad Refua Midarech HaTeva. They don't have any side of Refua from a natural way. Okay? From a natural cause. O Segula. Okay? Now, Segula is often used in different ways here, but the way I think that they use it, I think the Rashba and the Chuv also use it this way. It's like, it means it's like hidden properties. Which means, I think, is that sometimes something could work medically because even nowadays this is true. Certain things which work medically, we can explain exactly why it works. According to Chachma, we understand the chemical processes involved and whatever it is, and we could see. We could show you why exercise is the root most strengthens the muscle of your heart and makes it less likely you get heart disease or whatever, you know? And then there are other things which work, we don't know exactly why they work. We don't know how they work exactly, but we do know from many experiments that they do work. So like someone told me, like the area of psychopharmacology, which is like meds for psychiatric disorders, is largely an area which is not understood. No one could really tell you, given a psychiatric condition, this med will work because I understand the nature of the brain, I understand how it's going to work and how it's going to react and all that. This is what Mach Neweis, his father, told us. He's a psychiatrist, and he works in like prisons for the worst criminals. And he said, it's like the whole field. Someone else told me this also. The whole field is very much trial and error. There's a lot of different meds, a lot of drugs, and you try a cocktail, you try to mix them, and you see what works. And you give them this whatever, and you have like an intuition, but it's not. They don't understand the brain enough. You know, oh, that's his thing, this particular drug is going to work. They don't know how these things work quite, but through experimentation, they see there are hidden properties of these meds, which make them work. They don't know exactly how. Okay? So, this is, I think I'm quoting him correctly, but if that's not true, or if someone looks into it and stuff, but the point is there are things like that. Not everything in medicine is understood how things work. The placebo effect itself, we don't know how it works. There's an idea of a placebo effect. It's a mystery how exactly that works, but it does. But there are things which work just because. So saying is that these refuos, which you're using, have to either work mitzad chachma, midarech hateva, natural causes which you could explain, or mitzad segula, means it's working through some hidden properties, which is also fine because if you're going to make sure, you're going to demand that you're never going to use any medical thing unless you fully understand exactly how it works, then you're going to hinder your growth in medicine. Maybe you'll play, use it, and manipulate it, and try it, and this, and you'll heal people, and you'll start to understand it. So it says, and the fact that the Chachamim, I'm sorry, so he's saying it's like this, that many of these things are, so he's saying is that many things are Darkei Mori, okay, which, if it doesn't have a healing property, is Darkei Mori. So again, there are these activities which are superstitious practices, which are not Avodah Zarah proper, but if they don't have healing, if they don't naturally heal or through some unknown property heal, then they're Darkei Mori. And he says, and the fact that Chazal write a lot of these things in this Gemara and in many places, he says they are helped in what they chose to write about, they were helped in Betzir Shtei Dvar, okay, with the combination of two factors. Okay, in there, I guess, in their choice of which things they wrote, they chose the things to write down based on two factors. Ha'echad, shelo hayasham davar kedai lahatos. They're not fitting to cause anyone to make an error. Whereas the nature of these things are, like he's saying, are very foolish. They're very like crazy types of things, and they're not sophisticated enough to fool anybody, to trick anybody to think that they really work. Ela havalam hamonim, they're just like their stupidities of the hamon. They're like wives' tales, like when people come out with these wives' tales. No one really believes in wives' tales. That's like a phrase, or wives' tales. Like the nursemaids tell you these things or whatever. Like no one really believes them. He's saying the nature of the things they chose are things which don't have the capacity to trick anybody. Okay? But they're just be kizve hanashim. They're like lies that sometimes mothers or whatever their nurses say. Kimosha tira berubam, you'll see in many of them, shemis yatsim osim al shem hanashim hamenikos. Dami Gadlos. I see a lot of them. So many of them, you'll see they attribute to the women who nursemaids or the ones who raise their kids. Umegadlos, so some belimad have lamb, and they raise them based on teaching them these silly things. They tell them silly nursery rhymes, they tell them these silly types of things. And Ru Amram, Amra Liam, and that's what he quoted the Gemara, where Abaye said, my nursemaid told me. So apparently they had these nursemaids. They weren't necessarily the most sophisticated people. And they believed in these types of wives, what they call them, wives' tales. Right? So he's saying is that when Chazal bring them down, they're bringing down ones that nobody is on, no one's really going to be tricked into believing in these things. Because the only people, these are people no one really believes the stuff except for the empty people in Hamon who don't know who, whatever. Right? So that's what he's saying is that, like when they were like this thing with Abaye, it sounds so crazy. The Meir is saying is no one really believes that. No one's going to be tricked. If the Gemara brings it down, no one's going to think this stuff actually works. Okay? So you might say, so why did I mention it then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the first thing. Then he says, the Hasheni, and the second factor, because the Amon, the Am, the people, the masses at those times, believed, were confident about these things, that they worked. Right? Which again, he just kind of said is not true, or people don't really believe them. Hayativa mischazik, their nature became very strong. Nimsa mitzara hahergel, and it turns out because of being accustomed to doing these things, ezer tivi b'hem, there would be a natural help by doing them. Right? Which is pretty openly saying a placebo effect. Right? I mean, it's very ahead of its time. Placebo effect was noticed 100 years ago. It was not a idea of placebo effect as a recent thing. But he's saying is that because they were confident about these things, Amon was confident that they worked, so their nature became very strong, and because the people was accustomed to them, they would have a natural help in a person. Right? So again, this is it's very forward-thinking, but that's what he's saying. He's saying they worked. Why do they work? Because people believe in them. And when you believe in these types of things, it actually does impact you in a way which brings about positive effects. Right? Okay. Ve'avol kol she'ein li'aches bo ezer tivi. But if there's no natural thing, o seguli ve'ezer tzad, or any type of hidden properties, right? Avol pi she'ein ha'mayim arvahem b'shem kochav avot zara. But even if it's not, again, if there's no method, they don't know the laws, how it works, and they don't see any unknown causes. And if, even though it's not about Zara or stars, still, it's Dark Yamari. Okay, so that's basically his system. Is that if it involves stars, forget about it. Stars, idols, Asr, about Zara. If it works, either because you know the Chachma, or because you see a pattern and you see there's some hidden factor, then that's also okay. But other than that, even though it's not technically about Zara, but if there's no indication that it works, then it comes under Dak Yamari and it's perfect. Okay, fine. So again, so he's saying is, so let's take stock here. So what's he saying is, so again, these funny, crazy things, which you find the Gemara bringing down, he's saying is there's two factors which made them choose these things. First of all, they're things that nobody's going to be fooled into believing them. Right? No one's going to be fooled into believing them because they're so crazy. Right? And secondly, there are people in those times who really believe them, and therefore they're going to have a placebo effect. So therefore they bring them down, because that was the first question. If no one believes them, why are you bringing them down? He's saying, oh, because people did believe in them. So therefore they brought them down. So this way people would be able to continue to use them, and they'd have a desired placebo effect. But then he just said a second ago, they're only choosing things which are so crazy that no one's going to believe in them. Right? So while both of them, they sound like two independent ways you could have explained them. Why are Chazal having these? So one way is you could say, well, they didn't really believe in them, just people. And the other one you could say is, oh, because there's a placebo effect, and that's why they're bringing them. But how do you bring the two together, and how do they work? It sounds like he's contradicting himself. Are they the types of things that no one's going to believe, or are they the types of things that people are going to believe?
Maybe it's just two different categories of things. Like, these phenomena that we're discussing have, like, different... You could bring them down into categories. Like, placebo is a specific...
Okay.
Placebo doesn't work just on anything.
No.
In a certain situation.
Right.
So maybe you could say that... I can't even find the words for what the categories would be,
okay.
But, like, maybe there are just two categories. There's one category where it's, like,
clear. People just believe it's nonsense.
Right.
And one category where no, there is certain cases where we can all acknowledge it works.
Okay.
Because of the like community buy-in.
Okay.
To the concept.
Okay. Okay. The problem is. If there are things which it's clear that none that they don't work, those tie that class of things, so then you have the question, why are they bring them down? So arguably he's justifying that by the second thing, because of the placebo. But then, if he, no, that's, I guess, the problem, is that if they're two separate things, then why you bring down the ones which are clear they don't work? So Elmai, you'll tell me, oh, it's because of the placebo. Well, then it's the placebo, then they're talking about the same class of things. So now people do believe that it works. So then why is he saying no one's going to think they work? Right?
Right. Is it two different types of people that he's referring to? Like,
okay.
There's the type that are, you know, only interested in evidence-based stuff, and
right.
When they hear these old wives' tales, they'll just know it's nonsense and ignore it.
Right.
And then there's the types that, you know, my nursemaid told me this, and if I take this, it's going
right.
to make me feel better, and then
right.
they feel better
right.
after they take it,
right.
you know?
Right.
So, it's it just depends what level of person is holding it.
Right. Right. Okay. Good. Good. Yeah. Aliza? On the apron? Okay. Yeah. No, so I think what I was saying is good. Okay, let me elaborate a little bit, but excellent. And it's amazing. And it's an amazing insight which Amiri is having into this thing, which is that there are two types of people that the Chazal are concerned about. And they're talking to. And there's a dual objective. When the Gemaras write down, talk about medicine, they have two carefully balanced objectives in mind. Okay? On the one hand, I'll start with the second hand, they want to help people get better. Right? They want to heal people. And they notice there are these things which people believe. And they heal people. And you want to be able to teach, to show people how to get better. Right? In other words, there are these things work. So given that these things work, Chazal are interested in perpetuating the knowledge of things which actually work. And yes, they work as a placebo effect, but whatever, they work. Bottom line is they work. And they want to write it down in a way that people who have these ailments will actually be able to be healed. What do you do if you have a headache every single day? And you know that this ant thing, as stupid as it sounds, you know this ant thing works. What do you do? Not tell people that? It works. So therefore, Chazal can write it down. But on the other hand, Chazal are interested in truth, and interested in science, interested in medical knowledge, and being able to know the way the world truly operates. Now, some people are interested in that. Not every person. There are nursemaids who aren't interested in that. That's not their business. They do other things in life. But there are chachamim who are interested in that. And when the Gemara is teaching certain things, writing them down or passing them down, you don't want to tell chachamim that the world works in a way which it doesn't work. Right? In other words, you don't want to mislead someone who's an investigator of reality and is trying to develop further knowledge and to grow and to understand the patterns of behavior and to study the Chachma in the universe. You don't want to tell them that the world works through these magical, mystical things. You don't want to lead them astray and make them think that the world works in this way when it doesn't truly work in that way. Right? People who are looking for knowledge, they look at Chachma and they want to learn from them. Right? And you're going to mislead people by telling them things which are wrong. So the Chachamim had to simultaneous. So in theory, if you're talking about the Chachamim, you'd say, just tell every Chacham, this stuff is stupid, this stuff does not work, this stuff is terrible, this is not the way the world works, right? Every single thing which you see is stupid, you say, that's stupid, 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 right? But now what you're going to do is you're going to deprive all the people who it works for of the placebo effect, right? Why are you doing that? Why are you arming them? They're not studying the universe, they're not interested, it's not about Zara, so it's not like they're being harmed by the whatever. Now, it's kind of a superficial way to look at the world. Well, that's who they are. That's the way they look at the world. They're not going to not look at the world any better by telling them it's stupid. That's not what they're not pursuing knowledge. So you don't want to take it away from them. But again, if you're just going to start publicizing every crazy thing, then people are going to be misled. You're going to end up making people think that the way the world works in wrong ways, it doesn't work that way. So therefore the Meir is saying is that they specifically bring down only things which are clear to any thinker that they're bogus, that they're wives' tales, that they're ridiculous. They're so crazy, and if you see these things which they bring down, they are so crazy. And they say sometimes, my mother, my nurse may tell me. So that's like a key sign, like you said, that's a key sign to anybody who's an investigator that it's a wives' tale. Like, and if you introduce something, like exactly, like you said, if you just say, hey, you hear this wives' tale, blah, 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 right? So some people will perk up and say, really? Tell me about it. Other people say, wives' tale, that's crazy, right? So you see, there are different types of people. So it's like Chazal were simultaneously helping out people who believe these things and who benefit from the placebo effect, but at the same time, carefully selecting statements which would not mislead honest investigators. So that's what he's saying, is that no honest investigator can believe these things because they're so crazy. And what's great about the Meiri's shot is, if you look at these Gemaras, the crazier they are, the more of a support they are for his pshat. Because you think, how could Abaye, this great Chacham, believe in this and thing and this and this and this and this? You know? So Meir is saying he didn't. He'd never believe in that. He wrote it in a way that he thought no one intelligent would actually believe in these things. Right? So, no, what does it mean, no one intelligent? No investigator. I don't want to say intelligent. It's not really about intelligence, but it's about no one who's truly investigating the way the world truly works would believe that this is the way the world works. It's too far out. But people who are interested in investigating, people who live their lives just, who are just nursemaids and aren't interested in knowledge and interested in investigating the way the universe works, then they have full access to these types of things. I mean, but I guess the ones which are on the border, he's saying, is those Chazal would be careful not to say. That's what he's saying. They measured which ones they'd say. They wouldn't say ones which may have a placebo effect, but at the same time may mislead people. Or they if their judgment would mislead people. That would be something they'd stay away from. Because although you could have a placebo effect, it wouldn't be fair. You can mislead people. Right? So it's an interesting dilemma that they're dealing with, and I feel like it's a modern day dilemma, which is very tricky, because placebo effect nowadays, we know, experimentally, it works on a lot of things. But the problem is that if you know something is a placebo, you can't, in good faith, market it and give it to people and say, take this, this is going to work. Because it's like you're fooling people. So, but because of that, now you can't, there are certain diseases which placebo effect is super duper strong, but now what are you going to do? You can't use it. So it's like, unfortunate, you can't use it. Right? You follow me? Like, for example, like I think it's shown that specifically like depression, different psychiatric conditions, I think specifically depression, antidepressants, the placebo effect works excellently when it comes to depression. In fact, I think they say like the top antidepressants have a very hard time beating out placebos in double-blind studies. It's like, it's very hard to beat out the placebo. The placebo is so good, and these medicines are so not, or whatever, that it's very hard to beat the placebo effect. But now you can't give people and take this medicine and tell them, hey, this is medicine, when you really know it's a sugar pill. I mean, maybe you argue that you could, but we think, in the modern world, we think that's not ethical to tell people things like that, right? So what they do? So what they do often is we looked into other things there a number of years ago. What they do is they stack the deck, and they, in kind of a way that they make it that you have to pass the FDA approval. You have to beat the placebo like 3 times in 3 studies. But like you don't have to record the studies which don't work. So it's like the studies that don't work, you can just ignore, and then when it beats 3 times, then it could then you could pass it. In other words,
for the drug to be on the market,
for it to allow it to go on the market, like they know that they can't be super duper stiff with their requirements, because if you're too stiff, you're not going to have any drugs on the market, and then you do a disservice to everybody. But at the same time, you want people to be able to access the, you know, you don't want to just allow any crazy person to do anything. So it's like there's a tricky balance. The point is that given that you know about the placebo effect, it's a tricky balance of being able to use it appropriately. On the one hand, to allow the pursuit of true science and to challenge pharmaceutical companies to come up with true advances which actually work, but then at the same time not to squelch their growth too much that you're going to not allow anyone to have access to placebos. So it's like, this is like a modern day type of an ethical problem which Chazal were also grappling with and had their way in the Gemara of dealing with and of presenting. Right?
Maybe
we
have a natural supplement, but don't need anything. People really believe in
them
just because of the
vitamins,
you know?
Yeah, right, like the homeopathy,
you
know, things
medicine,
like that.
Medicine, like the homeopathy.
Yeah, herbal things. A lot of these things aren't tested, right? But they work in double-blind studies.
The whole chains of stores that are just vitamin shops and GNC.
Yeah, all that stuff, right.
People buy tons of that stuff.
Right, but I think most of that stuff isn't really verified in double-blind studies, but people do it. Right, but now what are you going to do? Say that's illegal and tell people, go around to people who use that and say, you know, that stuff is garbage? Why are you doing that to people? What are you going to do? Are you trying to
prevent them? The U.S. spends millions on vitamins. It's unbelievable how much money people spend on that stuff.
But there are people, that's the way they live their lives. And now what are you going to do? Why are you going to go bash down their things? This is the way they live their lives. And it works, and it does work. Now you're sophisticated and it's not going to work for you. So now what? Now ruin it for them? For them it's working. This is the thing. So then Chazal did not say that. Chazal didn't demand every single person at a level where they live their life 100% according to proven science and that's it. And if you don't, it doesn't work, it doesn't work. At the same time, Chazal recognized there are people who are pursuing absolute chachma and you don't want to mislead them. Right? So this is like kind of the bind that Chazal finds themselves in, and this is what the Miri is saying. This is the solution which they came to. Right? Yeah. I feel like there's another point. So, yeah, question? Okay. So,
does that mean that you're, you know, if somebody is convinced that a certain remedy works for them, that you're doing them a disservice by trying to educate them? Because then
it depends on what kind of person it is. I think there are some people who are investigators, and you know, they live their lives based upon knowledge, and they're not going to do these things until they look into it. They're not just going to start taking things without looking into it. And for them, they're probably not going to get the placebo effect in general. Mm-hmm. But then there are other people who are going to get the placebo effect, and as such, you know, I feel like, what are you doing? Why are you messing with them and trying to tell them that this stuff doesn't work? Why do that to them? Now what are you going to do now? You know, what are you trying to accomplish? Like, it depends. If you think that there is a person who's going to hear your message and change their life to start living a life and examine life and knowledge, and you're trying to, you know, motivate them towards that type of a thing, then maybe you should. Then maybe that's a worthwhile piece of information. Someone who's growing in their knowledge, but just a person who doesn't live a life of knowledge in any way whatsoever. And this is what they do. Now what are you going to do? Did it knock down their thing? It's not. If it didn't work, then it's saying it's not Kemori. There's no evidence that it works in any way whatsoever. But if it works, that's, I guess, the tricky balance. It seems like it has to be that it really works with placebo. Like, certain things don't work, and people do these things. They don't work. There's no placebo. They're just doing superstitious practices. So then, arguably, you'd say, then you should stop them, because it's just superstition. It doesn't help them in any way. It's just leading them towards a bad path, and then on the contrary, to show them path of chachma. But here, there are things, it's talking about things which do work. So those are saying the amulets. The amulets are ones which have been verified to work based upon an expert. Those are allowed to use. And the Rambam himself brings this, says that you use those. But ones which are not verified.
If you know that so-called expert that said it works three times is a snake oil salesman, and you just, like, you know, that's.
Well, snake oil salesman means a guy who's good at manipulating the placebo effect. So then, then why are you knocking it down? Depends. If he's
this is somebody who's trying to scam, you know, suffering people, then wouldn't you want to educate them that they're paying for something that's...
Well, it works, though. They're saying is that it works. Depends. If it's a thing which really doesn't work, and the placebo doesn't work, there is no placebo, and it just... certain things placebo doesn't work for. Or you're trying to get them to believe things which doesn't work for, then fine. But... or they're taking tons of money from them, and you're whatever, and you're truly harming them. But if you're just buying some vitamins over the counter, and that actually boosts their immune system, makes them stronger, and whatever, and actually is shown to have placebo effects. I mean, there are things which are known to have good placebo effects. Certain ailments have good placebo effects. Certain types of medicines, like they say, in placebo effect, it's like the color of the pill is a big factor. I think for like antidepressant, it's blue. And for stress. I don't know, there's like all different things. Like, this part of the research on placebo research is different medicines are specifically different colors because the psyche relates to these things differently. Now, it sounds crazy, but this goes into the research. And these things, there are effects. Certain things, placebos work for well, other things, they don't work for well. Now, this is the other point that I was going to make. Now, he could ask a question on this whole thing. Because the Meiri is saying, Chazal wrote down things which no one, honest, no smart person would believe that they're actually true. Right? But arguably, there are Rishonim, Achronim, rabbis who do believe these things are true. So the Meiri is claiming that when Chazal wrote these things down, they only wrote things down that no one in the right mind would believe that they're true. Right? But at the same time, it seems like there are people who do believe that they're true.
People or the Rishonim believe
them? I mean, I don't know. You know, Rishonim believe a lot of things are true. Like for example, the Rambam says, it's a similar question. The Rambam says about the let me grab that. The Rambam says about the Kishuf and all these different magic that no one intelligent believes are true. Give me a second.
No, it just bothers me to think
just
led people to spend money on something that they think is, you know,
he says like this.
Cured cancer, and meanwhile, it's not
he says
not,
like this.
Not evidence based.
Because this is after the Ram talks about the Zara types of things. He says all these things are fake, they're not real. He says, Kalaman Mador Melo, anyone who believes in these things, Mechashe B'liba Shem Emes, Debre Chachma, and thinks that they're true and Chachma, Abel Torah Asher, San Torah Asher, Eino Elamen Asachalam, Mechaser Yadas, they're fools and empty, Vachalam Asher Gatano, Shein Zayt Nishlem, Bali Chachma, people of Chachma, between Yadas, Yedo, Berayos Berus, they know with clear proofs, Shekale El Dvorm Shasat Torah, Eino Debre Chachma, they know they're not really Chachma, El Tova Evel, they're empty, and it's nothingness, Shanim Shibam Chaser Yadas, that foolish, empty people followed, but not you called dark amas begolim, and truth has been corrupted because of them. Right? So he's saying that it's clear that anyone who believes in these things with Torah, that they're true, but the Torah prohibited them, is empty-headed and all that, right? But they're Rishonim. The Ramban held a lot of these things to work. His science was, and he says these things have been verified scientifically and been tested, and they do work. So he says, while it's valiant attempt by the Ram to say that they don't work, but they do. We have experiments, they work. So, there are Rishonim, and there are two camps within the Rishonim. Some Rishonim held like the Rambam, that the stuff is clearly fake, and it's just charlatans who've been able to trick you to make think these things work. Others had science that the stars, Hashem set up, we did this, Hashem set up the universe in a way that he has the ability to hack into the system or whatever in a way, and that's, there are ways that man could manipulate these things, right? But the Rambam's saying is anyone with Chachma knows it's not true. Right, and knows that this stuff is empty and shallow. Right, so it's a similar point. It's like, I'm not sure if there are Rishonim who held that the Abaye's thing with the ant worked. I don't really know, but I'm saying there are things like this where there are people nowadays who believe that these Gemaras actually work. I mean, you know, you could call them. I don't know if you call them. I don't know, whatever. But there are a lot of people who believe in a lot of Gemaras, which sounds crazy, but this is what they think.
So. Just back to that question about whether you should educate someone when there is...
One second, okay? I just want to make this point, okay? Sure. We go back to that question in a second, okay? Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm asking now? I'm saying that the Meiri is claiming that they only wrote down things that no one is going to really believe. No one's going to think is true. But is that really true? That no one in their right mind thinks that the Gemara's things actually work? It seems like there's a camp of Rishonim who believe that a lot of these things work. I don't know specifically the illnesses, but I would think there might be people who do believe in these things. Okay? So, this is Aaron had an answer. The following is that what he means is, and what I think the Rambam means also, is that anyone who really studies the science will see that this stuff is empty, is fake. No one who's a scientific minded person will think that the ant thing works. Or will even think, according to John's saying, will think that the heavens and the stars and the whatever. The Rambam is claiming is that it's known by proofs that this stuff is false. And anyone who really believes that, the stuff is like, it's empty-headed. He means anyone who's a primary investigator into this area will see that these things are shallow and they don't really work. Okay, but not everyone in the Masora was a primary investigator in the area. Now, arguably, in the time of Gemara, Chazal studied Maaseh Merkabah, studied Maaseh Bereishis, they studied these things, and they were people who studied science at the time on a first-hand level, and there were many Chacham who did so, and they were, as such, they would know this stuff doesn't make any sense. But as the Gullus went on, more and more of Chachamim became, they were not involved in science, they were not scientists, were not involved in studying, they were involved in Torah, they had, because of the difficulties of the Gullus, they had to direct all their energies in the Chachmas of Torah. And like nowadays, they're great gadolim nowadays in Torah, they're brilliant, but they don't know anything about science, and it's not the area. I don't think they would claim they know a lot about science. So they just think, oh, that's not the way science works. Science says the universe is 14 billion years, but nah, they don't really know what they're doing or whatever. Like, yeah, because you don't know anything about science. You know about science, you'll see that the stuff is proven. So the people who don't know about science, like the Ramban, when he says the Rambam's wrong, that the stuff works, he says it works because people say empirically the stuff works. So Ramban wasn't saying, I've studied these areas myself and I'm an expert in these things. He's saying that the scientists say the stuff works. And you can't deny your senses. Empirically, this stuff is evident, is shown to work. So the Rambam is saying, though, he's not saying that the Ramban is empty-headed. I think he's saying is that someone who truly investigates these areas will see that they're empty. So if you believe in it, either you're empty, or you haven't really investigated it. Right? But he's saying is that anyone who truly has a real opinion about these matters, about the science of it, is empty. And I think that's what he's saying, is the Meiri is saying. Is that if you truly investigate the science, you'll know that the ant thing doesn't work. If anyone's really an investigator into the way that healing and health and all this works, they've come to the conclusion that stuff doesn't work. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be people in the Masorah who did not investigate the science in any way whatsoever, didn't know anything about health, and they just think, hey, the Gemara says that it works. Well, I guess it works. That might be true, but the Meir is just saying, but that's not the person the Meir is talking about. He's saying he wrote it in a way that someone who's looking to understand science, to understand medicine, is not going to believe in these things because they're so far out there. But there are people who choose not to do that. And unfortunately, in the Gullus, more and more Rabbanim are not involved in any way in science, and they just trust, you know, maybe they either go by the Gemara, or they, I think in theory, you trust the science of your times, but they're like skeptical of science of times because they know that other people have agendas in the science of their times. So they're kind of in a situation, they don't really know science firsthand, and they're just skeptical of everything science says. But that's not what he's saying. Someone who actually studies it is going to not make a mistake.
Remember, he's a doctor also.
It's true he's a doctor, but it doesn't seem he was a top-of-the-line scientist. I mean, I don't know, I guess there's different kinds of doctors. But the Ramban's not talking about a doctor. That wasn't medicine. The Ramban's things are talking about. Well, I think there is their science of their times and their science of their times.
Was also a doctor?
What's that?
Both Maimonides and Nachmanides were doctors?
Yes. But I mean, the Ramban, I don't know much about the Ramban. I don't know what type of doctor he was, but the Ramban was like a doctor for the chieftain, the sultan of Egypt, or, you know? But, I mean, the Ramban's things, which he's saying are true, aren't medical matters. They're about the astronomy, the stars, and the, you know. But, I mean, it seems he thought that stuff worked, and he says, people say it worked. It doesn't sound like the Ramban did primary investigations. But the Ramban's saying is that there are proofs if you look into these matters. So it seems like the Ramban is saying he's just going by what people say works. And that's the way Ramban talks about it. We did that on Ramban, I think, a few months ago.
So why is it not...
I'm sorry, one second, Ayala is asking a question.
Why isn't it obligatory on the person who has done the investigations or is an expert in the area to educate somebody? Like, it seems like, especially if there is a treatment that they know is going to be more effective than the placebo, they definitely would have, obligation to bring that to someone's attention.
Yeah.
But even if it's just like, you know, choose to take this placebo or there's no other option, I mean,
you have a person who basically has a cancer, which doctors say there's nothing to do. But now there's a person who has a, you know, some sort of snake oil that he takes, and he gets better, and has a good 30% cure rate. And this guy found out about this and had a 30% cure rate, and now he's doing it. So now what are you going to do? You're going to tell him that it's phony baloney and cause him to die because he doesn't have his placebo effect?
Well, I just
have to do that.
There was like a case that came up in the firm community a few years back where they were trying to raise money for a family that had a child with cancer.
Okay.
And they were, you know, raising money for this very super expensive experimental cure.
Okay.
that, you know, if you look in through the literature, there's no evidence that this is going to help at all.
Okay.
So they're raising tons of money for this, and then the question
is,
what's
their discussion? We're talking about things like, which work, which are shown, which known to work through placebo effect. That's what the Umar told me. Like, things which are known to work.
Backwards countries like India or Africa and having those like crazy operations that...
Again, the question is do they work? And do they work? Then again, the Miri is saying is these are things which the people believe in very strongly, and therefore they are known, they're shown to help. The Rambam's talking about an amulet which is tried three times, and it's verified by this guy. So we're talking about things which is known that there is a placebo effect for these things. Now, it doesn't mean it be in double-blind studies. See, sometimes it means when they do double-blind studies, it doesn't work. That might be true. In a double-blind study, it's not going to work, but it might work as a placebo. So it's saying is if it works as a placebo, it means it works. It'll be better than not giving them anything at all. That's what
that
it means
kind
it
of
works.
Placebo effect only works for people who have literally have blinders on.
Well, some people in the world have blinders on. Like, some people live their life with blinders on. Now you're not gonna be the Rebbe and teach them to be Bit Chacham. That's not who they are. Now you could just tell them, listen, I'm a Chacham, I live my life like a Chacham. Let me inform you that this one piece of information. I know I can't be a Chacham, but I just want to tell you one thing, this placebo doesn't work, it's fake. So now you could die and you're not gonna die a Chacham because you're not a Chacham anyways. You just why are you ruining for them? That's not how they live their life. So that's who they are. Now, unless you want to take it upon them to, in their last dying year, to become their personal Rebbe and sit and talk to them and explain to them the Chachmah of the universe as you see it. But now you don't do that. You just want to bust up their placebo and let them die instead of living. So why are you going to do that to them? So saying, as a person who's an investigator, who's really looking to understand the world, you don't want to make him think that this is the way the world works if it doesn't work that way. But the people who use these things, there are people who this is the way they live. And it's saying, as Chazal saw, if it's not Avodah Zarah, and it's shown to work in a matter of a placebo or science, either one, then basically leave them alone. And don't stop them. But if it's shown to not work, then it's Darkei Mori. If there's no evidence that it works, then it is Darkei Mori. Then, I mean, I don't know the parameters exactly, but these types of things in the Gemara, it's saying, are Darkei Mori.
It's saying three times, right?
Well, you have to, again, I'm not postulating the things, you have to look into a particular, but that's the general clout. Which is, I think, what they have in the FDA. I think the FDA also has, you know, there's an idea of something worked three times. But how exactly you work it out?
It's not just three people. They have to have enough people in the sample that it's...
Fine. There are different methods of how your criteria are. The point is, though, there has to be indication that it works. Now, why? Whatever the indication, why it works. But that it works. That's the kind of thing Chazal did not go against. Okay? Alrighty. Yes, that's the end of the phone there. Did someone have a question?
I was going to say, there could be some really weird stuff that works that's not placebo. I see it with some, but it could be placebo, and yet...
Yeah, look, it could be that it's true. I mean, sometimes it's not placebo. Maybe there's certain properties of an herb that we don't necessarily know how it works. But it might work, because it actually works medicinally. You're right, that's also possible. We don't understand exactly how it works. I'm saying placebo, but it's not... And I think the Miri was mentioning placebo because he's saying it's because people believe it. But sometimes it could actually work, but we don't know how it works, but we know that it works. So similarly, right, just because you don't know how it works doesn't mean it doesn't work. And if it's shown to work, so maybe it's placebo. That's what I'm saying. Let's say it's shown to work. So maybe it actually works, maybe it's placebo. Either way, it works. Yeah. All right. So have a good night, everybody.